Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, I'd just love it if you would join us tonight with devotion. We're going to have Dr. James Nooks, who will be leading us in Bible study. We'll have, I think, Mark Bryant will sing a song for us. And we'll have Dr. Nooks read a scripture. And we'll ask Lester Carver to lead us in a prayer.
Thank you all for coming to Your Place Christian Church to join us as we exalt God. Your Place Christian Church is the place where God is exalted and the word is explained. Tonight we'll have song, scripture, then prayer. Tonight's song is simply, I love you. I love you, Lord, today. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way, that's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. And I lift you up, I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with you. That's why my heart is filled with you. That's why my heart is filled with you. Praise.
Amen. We thank God for the song. Our scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought forth a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth.
Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight. We lift you up. We magnify you, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's neither like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. We love you, Father. We thank you for all of your grace and all of your mercy that you give us new each and every day, God. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you and study your word, God. And, Father, we thank you for you giving us the desire to seek you and to be in relationship with you, God. Father, we thank you for you giving us the desire to reach out and draw others into this relationship with you that we have. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be your sons and daughters today. We thank you for the goodness of the power of your Holy Spirit within us that we have so that we can not just function fully in the natural, but also in the supernatural, God. Father, give us a desire to utilize the power that you placed within us so that we're not found guilty of sitting on that which you have given us to use and to manifest in the earth. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are so very excited. Tonight is awesome night as we are continuing our topic from repentance to becoming new creation. It's our lesson for the month of March, and we are in the third lesson and one more to go. And we're so excited. Dr. Nix has done a great job, and we look forward to tonight's lesson. And we're also excited because Pastor Lester Carver will be preaching in the month of April. And so I'm sure he's excited as well. And so we'll have something to tell you about the topic for that next week. So stay tuned and be excited and stay with us because God is blessing. And this is a place where the word is explained. Tonight, our topic is, do I have to have faith? Do I have to have faith? The first week, we talked about, do we need to repent? The second week, we talked about, do we need to confess? And this week, Dr. Nix is leading us in the understanding of, do I have to have faith? So, Dr. Nix, if you're ready to go, let's go.
Just like to start out by asking those that are participating on the call, well, what does it mean to you when somebody says that we ought to have faith? What does that mean to you? Brother Mark, what does that mean when somebody says that we ought to have faith?
Brother Nix, you might want to do a roll call tonight. See who all you got on
could
the
we
line.
Have a could we have a roll call? Who do we have?
Brett Mark Bryant. Lester Carver.
DeSandra Linder.
Brother. Dr. Susie and Brother Carter.
Okay. Well,
this is Brett. Let me answer. I want to answer that question.
I think a lot of times people will throw that back at us because we are Christians, because if we're worried about something, we're not telling people that we have faith that God's going to fix it. We just throw it out there to vent and get that off our chest. So somebody will come back and say, well, what about your faith? Well, the thing is, the faith is there. I believe that God's going to answer my prayer, but I haven't prayed to him yet. Or if I have, then I'm waiting for him to do what he has to do. Meanwhile, you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it the way I feel at that moment. And I think a lot of people question that, but we have to remember that faith is what we believe in on things that we can't hold in our hands or look at and actually see it happen. And without faith, you don't have anything.
All right. All right.
And this is Mark. I totally agree. I think faith is the evidence of things not seen. It goes beyond sight and what we hear and what we believe, or not what we believe, but what we can see. And it specifically goes beyond what we feel, because many times we can feel a certain way, but does not believe. It does not mean that whatever that faith, whatever we have faith in, is not going to happen. Because a lot of times we may be in a certain circumstance that we don't want to be in, or we may feel a certain way. But faith causes us to go beyond what we feel and what we see, and recognize there's an evidence that goes beyond that for a reality beyond what we can see and what we can feel.
Okay. So I heard Brett say that, you know, faith is, you know, acting on something you really can't put your hands on. Mark, you're saying it's something you really can't see. And so do we see evidences of faith in the world? I mean, where do you see people exercising faith? I mean, I think we might see it all around us, people in the world. You do things, and you really don't know where the evidence is at. I mean, you go and you sit down in a chair, and you expect that chair to hold you up. You turn on your light, and you expect that light switch, you expect the light to come on. You get a prescription from a doctor that you don't even know how to pronounce, and you take it to a pharmacy, and they give you a prescription. And you take it and you expect that prescription to help you get better. But you don't really have the evidence of it, but you take it on faith.
Amen.
But then when it comes to our faith in God, sometimes we stumble at that and really stepping out on that faith and believing that God is going to, like that brother Lester prays, and he prays that things have already happened. Like if somebody says they're sick, they want prayer for healing, brother Lester will pray, I thank God for the healing. So he's exercising a faith in his prayer. So before we get started with the text, I just wanted us to think about that for a minute, because this is so important to our faith, our salvation. It's critical. And many people know, for those that are listening in, this is a foundational part of who we are as Christians. If we don't have faith in God, not in the pharmacist and the doctor and the utility companies and even some physical, if we don't have faith in God, whom we don't see,
come on,
then we can't receive what God has for us. And I just want to ask a general question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I think you need to ask your question, because I think, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. You know how it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God?
right?
Yes.
If
yes.
we don't know the word God, that God has magnified above his name, then we simply don't know the promises that are available to us. And if you don't know what's available on a menu, then you can't order what you want because you don't know what's available, all right? So if faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word, then we need to begin studying the word so that we can know what's on the menu, so that then we can ask and believe and receive. And really, it's the evidence of things unseen. Well, God's word is actually written in the stars, but we don't always understand what's in the stars, right? So today we have the luxury of having things in writing, but we need to make ourselves available to take the time to study God's word so that we can see what God has done in the past, we can know what God is doing in the future, and we can be aware of what God can do right now today for us when we believe. And so then our action can begin coming in line with the word of God that we know in spite of whatever circumstance we are observing or experience, and we can stand on the promise of the word of God and say, this is mine today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So let me invite you to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want somebody to read the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. I read 1 through 13 for our text, but I want us to focus on 1 through 6. Somebody have that? Let's see. Brett, do you have a Bible?
You said 1 through 6?
Yeah. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6.
Yeah, I have it.
That.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
This is the ESV. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. For therein the elders had witness borne to them. By faith we understand that the world have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts. And through it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God translated him. For he had witness borne to him that before his translation, he was being well pleased unto God. And verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and by faith Noah, being warned of God's concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is according to faith.
Amen.
That ended at the seventh, though.
Yes, all right. So what does that say about faith? And do we need to have faith?
Oh, yeah.
Brother Mark, or Brother Brett, you want to say any more about that? You read it. any more you want to say about that? I mean, the important, you know, we're asking the question, do we need to have faith?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I mean, this is for our audience that's listening in. So somebody may not understand the importance of faith. So they need to hear from us, if we believe that we do need to have it, you know, what is it? Why do we need to have it? And what is
you know, yeah. You know, one of the reasons why we need to have it from what we just read is because it says it's impossible to please God without faith, right? And
right.
You know what we mentioned, faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God. It all comes back to the word because God magnified his word above his name. If you know the word of God because you studied the word of God, then you can believe and stand on the word of God and please God by confirming his word, by affirming his word, by being the example of somebody who's benefiting from a relationship with God. So when people in the world see you, they want a relationship with God too because they see how God is blessing you, right? Because you're believing, but you can't believe what you don't know. You can't know what you don't study, right?
Amen.
So when you
Amen.
Study, you get the word in you, you get in the word, and then you start doing things and you operate not according to what you see in the world or what you see in the five senses. You start operating according to what you see in the word of God. And you see God's faithfulness, you see God's mercy, you see God's grace, you see God's power, and then you start doing those things God asks you to do because faith is an action word. In the world, people talk about believing and faith as if some intangible idea of mental ascension and you just agree with something. And when you agree with something, you act on that. You do. And these people in the world who are chasing money, who are serving money, they live, eat, and breathe money. If you read their books, the books that guide their Bible, Think and Grow Rich, and the books like it, right, they will tell you they spend every waking moment focused on chasing that dollar, right? Well, if we spend every waking moment chasing the word of God and claiming all the promises that God promises us, a more than abundant life, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, right, then we begin to do some things that we're not used to seeing Christians do, right? We've been talking about this stuff for a long time, but we need to start getting on the bandwagon and doing the supernatural. That's my
Amen.
Thought.
So, Brother Mark, I'm hearing what Brother Lester is saying there, but so if we exercise our faith, then that has an effect on other people that might see us as believers. So what, how does that help people that maybe are lacking in faith if they see us exercising our faith?
So they see us as that example, and then they start understanding that it goes beyond our ordinary, and then they see that there has to be something extraordinary that is placed on our lives that we work through to be able to get anything done and ultimately to please God.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. For me, I have to be real. I don't always have faith. I should have faith, but I don't always have faith. And I think many of the younger people or new Christians out there, they need to understand that you're not always strong. You're not always perfect. You know, we have levels of faith. There's some things that we're stronger in our faith in and other things that we're not. And I'm not the only
Amen.
One. There's situations
Amen.
And circumstances in our life where we can stand, we could walk, we would bet $1 million if it came on it that, you know, if that we could stand on
Come
faith
on.
And say that we got this. And we would do it. But then there's areas of our lives where we are weaker, you know, because if we had absolute faith, we wouldn't be here. There's nobody but Jesus that had absolute faith. And so, I think we're getting close, but I don't think any of us have arrived. And so I think that as children of God who are growing,
there you go.
That God wants to work with us and grow our faith and strengthen our faith and understand that. But like Brother Lester was saying, we have to walk and exercise what we do have. And the more we walk
Amen.
And exercise what we do have, the better we'll be and the stronger we'll be in faith in other areas of our lives. The stronger we'll grow when we take one step of faith and we're strong in one area, then we can see how God blessed us in that area and we can be strong in another area. But we have each other. That's why we have the body of Christ, so that we can help one another. We can remind the other. We can strengthen the other. We can share that with my brother. You know, like Brother Mark just went through a situation, and his situation and circumstance, acting in faith in the areas that he was strong, empowered and strengthened the others who were able to see him. So that helps somebody else, and I think that's why we're on this journey, and that's why we have each other, is because we serve as a vehicle of support and empowerment for the people around us. That's why we need to tell the story. That's why we don't need to keep it to ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To that end, I'd like for somebody to go to Romans chapter 5, and I think Dr. Hughes is absolutely correct. None of us have made it, and we all fall short of the glory of God. So we all need help, and we call upon God for that help. But our faith helps us to call on God. If we don't have faith in God, why in the world would we call on him?
Well, the faith comes from God, right?
Amen.
And that's the point.
Amen.
Is so when, yeah, and all we have to do is believe and receive. But if you don't know that the Bible says that, if you don't know that the Bible says the faith comes from God, right, and from hearing the word of God, then you can't believe what you don't know, right?
Amen. 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 So, somebody find Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8.
I have it.
I got it.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and
read. It's on you.
okay,
here we
go. Romans, go ahead.
All right. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So faith makes us right with God. So
and so that word justified by faith, that means just as if you never sinned. It's like when you're doing your computer, right, and you left justify and you right justify and you full justify, it straightens up the words on your page, right? And that's what God does with us. He straightens us up and gets us from looking at the circumstances to looking at what he's doing. This says that when we're, not only do we glory in the good things, we glory in the bad things too, because this says we know. The only reason we know is because it says it here in the word, is that God uses tribulation to develop in us more patience, more experience, and more hope, because the hope makes us unashamed. And that word ashamed means to be disappointed in your expectations. God does not allow us to be disappointed in our expectations of him. This is in the Hebrew, because, or in the Greek, I'm sorry, because we know that he is faithful to his word, right? And the more we go through, and the more we stand on the promises, and the more we experience God's goodness and his grace and his mercy, and we see him do impossible things. I'm in a situation right now that if God doesn't do something, I'm in a situation, right? But you know what? God is faithful. He's working it out. And if I didn't believe that, what I'm doing right now, I would not be on this line. I'd be doing something else. And see, that's what faith is. It's what you do.
Amen. And now, so
to what you say, yeah.
Amen. And we're going to get to James in a few minutes here, but faith. Has anybody ever been in a position where you don't have peace with God, where there's something just in your spirit just bothering you, and you know you've done wrong, and this here is saying that now we have peace with him because of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it also says that if we that we receive God's grace because of our faith. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace. His grace
Amen.
And mercy.
Well, you need his mercy. And see, people have a problem.
they don't understand the difference between grace and mercy. Grace is all the good stuff that you get that you don't deserve. It's also the power that you need to do the supernatural that God wants you to do, right? But God's mercy is the punishment you deserve that you don't get. And God gives us that every day because he knows you're going to need it. So if you pretend that you're never going to sin, you're never going to make a mistake, you know, what you're saying is you don't need God's mercy. And that's ignorant.
Yes, amen. And we're also full of joy because we expect to share amen. God's glory.
Amen.
So, and then this dissertation here about glorying in tribulation, because it's going to shape us and make us better Christians.
Amen.
What do you think about that? Cassandra, are you on the line? What
yes.
do you think about us suffering and we glory in that suffering or in those tribulations? What do you think about that?
I don't know. What you mean, glorifying? What did you say? The
no, no. When we suffer, this text here is saying we are full of joy even when we suffer. We know that our suffering gives us the strength to go on. The strength to
Amen.
Go on produces character. Character produces hope. And hope will never let us down. God has poured his love
Amen.
Into our hearts. He did it
yeah.
through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Sometimes when we're suffering, it's trying to shape us. And,
yeah,
and
just
make
get
us
better, yeah.
Amen.
I heard of
Amen.
God won't give you too much to handle.
More than you can
Amen.
Bear.
More than you
Amen.
Can bear.
Amen. More
yeah.
than you can bear, right? Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So that's quite a lesson for some of us that are maybe listening in, and maybe you're going through some stuff right now that just doesn't make any sense. And
right. Amen.
Keep praying. Keep having faith in God, because
yeah.
I don't know about anybody else on the line, but I think some of my greatest lessons in life have come through suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I suffered a bit. And a lot of times it was because of my own mistakes, my own decisions. But through all that, God has helped shape me. And I think it increased my faith because I had to rely on God. And just like Brother Lester was saying, you know, he's having faith in God right now, and he needs God to help him in the situation he's in right now. And there may be somebody
mm-hmm.
that's listening in that you're in a situation and you need some help. And if you don't have faith in God, then where's your help going to come from?
Amen. If God can't help you, nobody can.
This is Dr. Lynch. I would like to read the message version of that, of the Hebrews 11:1-6.
Yes.
It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Hallelujah.
My
and
Lord.
Our handle
Amen.
On what we cannot see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. And that's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It is impossible, impossible to please God apart from faith.
Hey, where's that verse where it says that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough
Come on.
To respond to those who seek him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, there's a part of that that really, really jumps out at me. It's when I look up at the stars, and I see God's created work. And in that text in Hebrews 11, it says, you know, that God made all that from nothing. And you know, we see all these people at NASA and everywhere trying to figure out how to travel to the moon and how to you know, see the different stars and whatnot. And God made all of that from nothing. And you know, it's just amazing to me. And you know, there are planets beyond these, our galaxy, and God made all of that, you know. And we limit God so much. And we try to put him in a box. We try to understand him the best we can, you know, and sometimes we step on each other's toes trying to understand God. But still, God is bigger than whatever we can think of. And that same God is the God that you need to have faith in. And that's what we're saying to you right now, that, you know, we can't have faith in Donald Trump. We can't have faith in our government. We can't have faith in money. We can't have faith in our jobs, you know, our homes, our car. All those can be taken away. But what we're saying to you is that if you have faith in God, that it's beyond any of those things and all of those things, and God will bring you through and God will bless you. And we're just trying to send a message today that we need to have faith in God.
Amen. Amen.
If there's no more discussion on that, I want to invite you to look at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 22. And this gets to some, I think, of what Brother Lester was saying earlier. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 22. Has somebody got that?
Is that your book, Dr. Nick?
What's that?
I said, is that your book, James chapter 2?
No.
Which...
No, that's not
my book. He got his own book.
That went right over my head.
Yes. James,
Dr. James.
I got it, James. James chapter 2, what verse?
14 through 22.
I have it. It says, it's talking, I'm reading from the NIV version, and it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, Lord have mercy, can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, go ahead and speak, Brother Lester, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. That's 2:22.
Amen. So, Brother Mark, What does that say to you about faith and works?
It says to me that faith is work in action.
Amen. So, Brother Brett, what examples, what does that mean to you as far as, can you give us some examples of faith in action? An example. and I throw that out to anybody.
This is Dr. Susie. Before we do that, can I just read this right quick in another translation? It says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, "Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit." And walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup.
My Lord.
What does that get you?
My Lord.
Isn't it obvious
Amen.
That God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear
Amen.
One of you agreeing by saying, "Sounds good. You take care of the faith department. I'll handle the works department." Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works and faith. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand in glove.
Amen.
Amen.
I forgot I was supposed to read it 22. Or is that good enough?
That's good enough.
Okay.
So I posed the question in a different way then. What should our faith and action look like? You don't have to give specific examples of what has happened, but what should happen if we really exercise our faith in action?
You know what stands out to me as a great example is the teaching that you gave last week, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago, and basically you were talking about the lady with the issue of blood, and she had a situation where she had this blood condition for 12 years, but in order to get healing, she had to break the law, go out in public, and then reach out and touch Jesus Christ's garment because she believed that she did, she would be healed. And after she
Amen.
Did, Jesus Christ acknowledged her faith, which was action, which led her to go out, break the law, do something she was not authorized to do, only to have Jesus Christ acknowledge what she did and then confirm that her healing was done.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I have an example. It's Dr. Susie. I have a friend that owns a business, and oftentimes he will help people even before they pay him. But what he does is he knows that God has called him to this work. And so he prays over his projects before he takes them. And so when he's done the work, he trusts God enough. He has enough faith to believe that the people will come through. And he prays for that.
Amen.
He trusts God for it. And it happened.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. And I know that there have been situation. I know that when I built a new church in Yellow Springs and we didn't have the money to do that, and we prayed and we broke ground and started in faith. And I know that there have been a lot of people. I know of another situation in church, starting a church. They started a church in faith. Because if you wait for the finances and the money and the people and whatnot to start a church, you probably never start a church. You know,
you probably never get married or have kids or have a business to do anything.
I know that's right.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
I know
there you go. Amen. There you go. There's an element of faith in all those, isn't it? I mean, those are examples of faith.
Well, you know what? I think it might be an example of the absence of faith too, right? Because if you don't believe, then you won't do.
Amen.
And the evidence of you not doing is going to be, you know, you not having.
Amen.
Anything.
Amen. Because God responds to our faith, doesn't he? I mean, that's what we've been
Amen.
Told.
Amen.
That's what we've been reading.
You will not please God without faith. We read it tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Brett.
So, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, this is Brett. I want to put this. A while back, I didn't get away from God, but I quit praying like I used to pray. And that's when my wife passed. A few years later, I met Dr. Susie, and she got me back on the right path. And since then, I haven't looked back. Now, the thing is that I come to realize that everything that we do, every step we take, every breath that we inhale and exhale, that is through our faith that God is going to keep me here. I'm sitting in the chair right now looking at my Bible and stuff. But there's no guarantee that when I try to get up that I'm going to be able to get up. I take that on faith. I believe that that's what I'm able to do. And if God will allow me to do it, that's going to be my next step. It's just like when you go to work, and I had said this once before, you believe at the end of the week you're going to get paid. You don't have any proof that you're going to get paid.
It's like
if you
work out.
Amen. Amen. And you know what?
Yeah.
And that's what should make a lot of people more confident to go out in business. I'll tell you quite honestly, I've learned so much about walking with God by not looking for the sure deal. There's so much more. I learned this from my brother Mark Bryant, who shows you how much is available when you don't limit what's available.
There you go.
Amen. Amen. That same God that made the universe and all that we breathe and all that we that touches us and all that we see, that same God is the God that's on your side.
Amen.
Through faith. Amen. Through faith.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got something to say. This is Cassandra.
Okay. Yes, go ahead, babe.
So my phone is dying as we were speaking, but then I looked at it and it's up to like 78, and that's faith right there and believing in
my
God
Lord.
Because he knows I'm listening to something great, and
okay.
He knows I'm trying to please him by listening to y'all and talk, you know, listening to y'all as y'all speak to me. But now my phone is charging up. It's not going dead.
Amen.
So I believe
come on.
That's faith right there. That's faith.
But it's not just that you're listening for us to speak to you, but that God is using you to speak to us. So that's
Amen.
What happens
Amen.
When we are part of the family of God, is that
Amen.
We lift up and nurture one another.
Right. Yeah, giving me some blessings. And I'm not talking as much, but I'm
yeah,
like,
y'all
you're
can
giving
pray
up
for me.
Some
that's
blessings,
okay.
But you hear.
Pray
that's
for me,
okay,
Cassandra.
Right?
I'm writing down as we speak.
Yeah.
As you
this
speak,
Britt,
I'm writing down.
Yeah.
Yes,
this is Britt. I got one more thing. I don't know about anybody else, but have you ever been in a situation where you were down to your last dollar?
Yeah.
Amen.
But you still
Amen.
Had a week to go, and you didn't know how you were
yeah.
going to make it?
Amen.
Yeah.
And you get back
Amen.
On that, you start going.
Amen.
Going through your watch.
Have you ever been? You mean, are you right now at this moment?
Yeah. That's definitely safe.
Like you're
going to
like you're gonna do your watch and you go through your jeans, and for some
yeah.
reason, you never checked this pocket before in your jeans, but where
yeah.
that pocket watch is supposed to go, you can reach in there and pull out a $20 bill.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
But prior to that, you've asked God, how am I going to make it? Can you help me? Hey,
my
you
Lord.
Forgot you had that money in there.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Amen. That's definitely God.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you for that, Britt, yeah, that's. I know what you're talking about.
Britt, I'm headed to look for some pockets, through some pockets right now.
No, you know what?
I
do have a similar story though, right? There was this time a long time ago when we needed some food bad, right? And
okay.
we had a cash box, and the food was gone. I looked up in the cash box. The kids were young, and there was a $100 bill that got stuck to the side of the cash box. There's no way I would normally overlook a $100 bill, but I was amazed, and I knew that it was God that even caused me to look, right? It was even more amazing to find the $100 there, and like I say, you know, that's God.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10. Somebody got that for us? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10. Who's got that?
I have it. Chapter 2, okay. 3 through 10.
Amen.
If you don't mind, I'll start at the first verse, if that's okay. It says, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose God's temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah.
My Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's two verses.
Keep on reading.
Now, God has us where he wants us with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. Somebody, hello. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing.
My Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amen.
That eighth verse, yeah, I know that's a different translation than Dr. Susie has, but it says God's grace has saved you because of your faith in Christ. And in some translations, we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of your works that any man boasts. So the concept of faith is in there, what Dr. Susie read. So what does that text say to you about God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, and how your faith interacts with that?
Another version says God saved you by his grace when you believe, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. So salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast, but we're God's masterpiece. He created us new in Christ Jesus. We can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So we have to understand that it's nothing we can do on our own.
Amen.
That this is a gift from God.
Amen.
But we have to believe. There's a difference between belief and faith. What's the difference between belief and faith?
Say that again.
I asked the question, what's the difference between belief and faith?
Faith is believing what you can't see the evidence of. So I mean, you can believe in something and see it, and have some reason to believe in it. But faith, you don't. There's an element where you don't see it. You can't see what it is that is the source of your faith. I mean, so there's an element of stepping out on something that is unseen.
So faith is like a person who takes a rope and stretches across the Grand Canyon and says, I can go across the Grand Canyon on a bicycle, on this rope. Mm-hmm. But belief is when you actually get on the bicycle and go across the Grand Canyon on the rope. It's putting that what you believe in action, that faith in action, it's action. Oriented.
So are you saying that there are two words for faith and belief? Now I know that one word for faith is pistis, right? Which I thought was believing. Is there another word in the Greek for faith?
You're speaking to? That's what I said. You believing that you can go across the Grand Canyon. You're
right.
Having,
no,
you
I know.
Have
so
faith.
That's pistis. So, what's the Greek word you're referring to for something other than the action part?
Belief is an action.
No, that's what I'm
faith?
Saying. So the Greek word pistis is translated both faith and belief. So you're saying there's another word.
But Lester, what the Greek does is it gives you several different words that you can use in several different occasions.
It's not just one word.
Pistis is a noun. Pistis is a noun. Pistio is a verb. Pistos is an adjective. So there's so faith is used in different ways. The verb is pistio.
Okay.
As opposed to pistis.
Right.
But the average believer is not into Greek. So what we're trying to say to you guys is you need to put what you believe that's not tangible that in action. That's the whole point.
Now, here's the question. Right. So the question is when it says faith is the evidence of things unseen, right? You know how that is. Evidence is that you're doing things that don't make sense, right? So remember what
Absolutely.
God tells us to do in Proverbs 3:5, where he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. He's really asking you to reject your own understanding, to reject what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and stand on the promise in the word, right? That's a tricky thing.
Amen.
That's like saying that, you know, everybody out here has been in a drought, and you know and believe that God says it's going to rain, and you walk outside with an umbrella.
That's
Amen.
Right.
That,
like Noah did, right? Now, for instance, you know what? When I decided to move to California 3 years ago, I had friends telling me it was a drought, there was no snow cap, there wasn't going to be any water. And then after I was out there a year, the drought was over. Now it rains every day. Had I listened to them, I never would have moved. And see, you can't make decisions based on circumstances. You can't make decisions based on how much money you do or do not have. You have to make decisions based on whether God told you to go or not. Whether God told you to stay or not. Otherwise, you're operating out of fear, and fear causes us to stand still when we should be moving, and it causes us to move when we should be standing still. And as a product of that, we're never positioned to receive the blessings of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, just a breath. But I agree with what you say, but you have to be in a place that you will know the difference.
Amen.
There's a lot of people out here that don't know the difference.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, it's 7:58. I have other texts to go into, but I think we don't have enough time.
Well,
but,
can you do one more? Are you ready to close it off for you? I'm good.
We can do Matthew 9:18-25, and this talks about one more the issue of blood, but also the healing of the daughter. So that's Matthew 9:18-25.
Well, can we just at least read them?
Yes, we can read Matthew 9:18-25. You want me to read it, or does somebody have that? I can read it. While Jesus was saying this, a ruler came. He got down on his knees in front of Jesus. He said, "My daughter has just died. But come and place your hand on her. Then she will live again." Jesus got up and went with him. So did his disciples. Just then a woman came up behind Jesus. She had a sickness that made her bleed. It had lasted for 12 years. She touched the edge of his clothes. She thought, "I only need to touch his clothes, then I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Dear woman, don't give up hope," he said. Your faith has healed you. The woman was healed at that very moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house, he saw the flute players there. and he saw the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead. She is sleeping." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been sent outside, Jesus went in. He took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News about what Jesus had done spread all over the area, that area. So we see two examples here of faith. The woman with the issue of blood, knowing that if she just touched Jesus, the hem of his garment, she would be healed. And Jesus said her faith had healed her. And then Jesus went and healed the daughter of a ruler, but he had to put the people out that didn't believe. So there may be people around you that don't believe, and your life is saturated with a bunch of disbelieving people. Get around some people that believe.
Come on.
If you expect to get a blessing and a healing sometime, you don't need to be around doubters. And this is a prime example here, that the girl was brought back to life when the believers were in the room with Jesus. So get around some folks that believe in Christ if you want to, I think, get some special blessings. But some of those people can bring you down if they don't believe.
Amen. Get rid of the riffraff.
Amen.
And sometimes your friends are the riffraff.
Amen.
What if there is a situation where Jesus had to put Peter, James, and John out the room? So y'all stay over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Amen.
And the other scripture was the one that Lester spoke about. That's Proverbs 3:5-8. Now trust in the Lord with all your heart. And Lester had already said that. And the other text was John 3:11-21. This was talking about believing in Jesus Christ for salvation. So those were the texts that we went over tonight. But we just want everybody to know that we do need to have faith in God. That is important for our salvation and for our lives and for our growth, for our blessing. And for just having joy and happiness. I mean, we need faith.
Amen.
Amen. Faith in God. So, Dr. Susie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Are there any praise reports or prayer concerns?
I have a prayer concern. Lester Carver here. Hey, I need prayer for supernatural provision and God to have these contracts signed and executed quickly and revenue to come in immediately.
Amen. This is Brett.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Brett.
I think everybody has know that my son had his wrist operated on, and they were talking about he may be able to get 50% of his usage back. And even though he's still in physical therapy, right now he's more than 50% on getting that usage.
Amen.
But I told him, I said, I have faith that God's going to heal that wrist. Now, you're going to have a little bit of difficulty, but I believe you're going to get about 90 to 95% of your usage back. And right now, he can bend his fingers all the way down and touch his palm. He can turn his wrists left and right, up and down motion. It's just a matter of stretching those tendons and muscles in there to accommodate the surgery that he has on that wrist, because they put two metal plates in there to keep it together. So I thank God for that.
Amen. Cassandra, you getting ready to say something?
Yeah, prayer concerns for my husband's aunt passed away family, the Kennebrews, and for me, prayer for me, Cassandra. So that's it.
Amen.
My husband too. Prayer for me and my husband, Gerald Linder.
Amen.
Is anybody else? Do we have any
praise reports?
I woke up this morning. No, I'm just saying.
Amen. Brett, would you close us out in prayer tonight?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, thanking you for allowing us to share the word of God once again. For those that are on the line that were listening and did not participate, we ask that you bless them and keep them in all that they do and say and their going in and coming out. Be with them so that they will be able to read your word and be able to start taking, start getting into the conversation, because you can't grow unless you ask questions. And if your son Jesus was on the face of the earth right now, we know things would be a lot different, because when we have the master and the master teacher, we can learn more. Father, I'm asking that you bless Cassandra and her husband. Take away whatever it is that's troubling this young couple. Bless all of our ministers that are on this line, that we will keep our faith, that we will walk in righteousness, that we will continue to bless others and allow our spirits to grow. It's been a long journey for a lot of us, Lord, and we just ask that you continue to be with us until the end of this journey comes, when you will take us on to your glory. Father, be with everybody. Bless them and keep them. Let them have food and shelter. Let them have money to take care of their needs and to be able to bless others. Father, take care of Dr. Susie as she is looking to get a permanent position. We know that you have it. We claim that victory in Jesus' name. We ask you to take care of her two kids, because even though they're separated from mom, they are still family. And we know that they love each other. So be with that family, Lord. Bless them in all that they do. Now, Father God, as we close this out, we ask you to bless this nation. Start healing us and set aside our differences that we have. We know those that are doing things that are not correct. We know that you have your hand on that also, Lord, and that punishment is going to come. All these things we ask you in Jesus' name until we meet again. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.